Just a couple short chapters in the first part of your Bible teaching us about creation and all about the early workings of the earth and all about the early humanity. And then the rest of the book is about redeeming man, fallen man back to God. What a blessing it was. Thank you, kiddos. I appreciate y'all. It's a joy to be back in the Lord's house tonight. For those that weren't here this morning, I'm going to recap. But if you want to stand tonight, am I dim? Is it my eyes or is the lighting bad in here? It seemed dim in here. What? It's the lighting? Well, these are reading glasses, but they don't have any kind of headlights on them. But anyway, I invite you to stand and give the reverence to reading of God's Word there. Well, what was that? He said, let there be light. Who was it here this morning? I know Miss Mary Sluter was not here. Jake wasn't here. Alexi wasn't here. Anthony wasn't here. Congratulations to Jessica and Anthony. If you didn't know, she's expecting, and they just did their announcement, their gender reveal, and they're having a young son to compliment Gracie and Colton, and they're getting ready to have Benjamin Isaac. So I thank the Lord for that. So congratulations. I hope your pregnancy continues to go well. And for those that don't know, Megan and Ryan Marlowe are home. And I know the church has been very generous and helped them a couple different times. We've given them, at this point, $2,000. I want to set aside a special love offering on the 17th. If you don't feel like giving, don't give. But if you want to give, this will not be from the church. This will be from us, the individuals. And if you'd like to do that, I've encouraged my brother pastors to help Ryan and Megan. And Just set aside that day to receive a love gift for them. I don't know how much it costs us to keep a baby for that many days in the NICU and how many days, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks they stayed there. But I do know that there is a definite need. And Brother Ryan hasn't been getting any income. And, you know, it's just they just need some help. So God's told me to help, and we're going to help. You already have help. And I thank you for what you've done. God will bless us for that, I promise you. But anyway, those babies are now home with Megan and Ryan. Ryan's just a local pastor. Love him and his wife and his family. They've had a rough past year or so, you know, with losing Brother Raymond. And just Wanda Marlowe has been just a blessing to the whole family, just a blessing to us. So let's remember them in our prayers. I'm going to give you the kind of the Cliff Notes version of what happened this morning. We preached out of the book of Daniel, how that Daniel had a prayer life, and he knew God, the God of Judah, and he knew God before he ever got into Babylonian captivity. And because he had that deep devotion unto to his God, he took that same devotion when he went into captivity, and he was found to be of favor of the king. And King Darius promoted him to be over all the other princes and all the other presidents, is what it said. He was preferred before the others because of the fact that he had an excellent spirit within him. And then whenever the foolish decree was made, it was made because they could find no fault in Daniel. There was nothing to accuse him of. He's not done anything wrong. So what they said was, is if we can't get him on anything that he does wrong, then what he's doing right, we'll make that wrong. And that's when they changed the doctrine and said that we can't get him except that we get him according to his God. We'll get him there. If we can't get him anywhere else, we'll get him in that. And so what they did, you know, the decree was made. You can't call to anybody except thee, O king. And they changed the thing and said, you can't pray. And if you pray, you're going to end up being thrown into a den of lions. And when you get there, it's a death chamber. That's an execution. But the Bible then tells us in 10 and 11 that Daniel, having heard that the signing was made, he did what he had always done. He just went in with his windows being open toward Jerusalem. He went ahead and did what he had always done. He just prayed three times a day. Now, like I said, that was not a blatant rebellious heart of a man by the name of Daniel. Daniel was not rebellious, Brother Tam. He honored the king. He honored King Darius. But listen, I've told you this before, and I'll tell you now, where the government makes a foolish decree or tells us as Christians that we've got to do something, if it violates God's law, we go with God rather than government. We have to do that. And then Daniel said, I'm just going to go with God. So that's what he did. He just continued to pray. And then those that would make accusations against Daniel heard that what Daniel had done, and they go back to the king like a bunch of tattletales and just finks that they are. They run back and said, Daniel, the one that you preferred over all the others and set over all the other presidents, he's bowing down to his God. What are you going to do about that, old king? And then, of course, the king's honoring the decree went ahead and did the story. But I preached this morning on just keep your windows open. Don't back up. Don't change anything just because times change. God didn't change. God's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore, our Savior remains. He is our Savior. He is the soon coming King. He is and He will be crowned the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we don't change anything just because of a foolish decree from a wicked government, because the government's got weird agendas in any way. Some of the things that we're being taught now and force fed down to us, even spoon fed to us, the 20 or 30 years ago, the only places you would find that stuff would be in a copy of Abnormal Psychology. I'm honest with you. Transgenderism, men, women, and all men are winning in all the sports because they are identifying as women and running and competing in the sports as women. Let me tell you, a man that identified as a woman when I was a child, brother Tam, that man needs a shrink. He needs to go see a psychiatrist. He needs a psychologist. He needs a good dose of Jesus is what he needs. But that's the only place you would find that would be in the study of abnormal psychology. But let me tell you, they're winning. You know why they're winning, brother Tam? Because male was made stronger than the female. Women was made the weaker. So they're competing as women and winning. Is that anybody? Is that any surprise to anybody? The only reason they're doing that, Tim, because they're losers as men. They are losers as men, so they compete as women so that they can win. They're losers. They need Jesus in their heart. And let me tell you, if they want to do that, then go ahead and go with the whole transgender deal and go ahead and have a surgery. We'll see if you go do that. They won't do that. Matthew chapter number 6. I tried to give you, like I said, just a cursory view of what we preached on this morning. Keep your windows open. I preached this morning on open windows and closed doors, if you'll remember. But I said we live more like we have closed windows and open doors, in that we don't want anybody to know that we're a prayer warrior. We don't want anybody to know that we're a child of God. We don't want anybody to know that we're a Christian. But we want to open the door unto every cesspool of sin and junk coming down the line. So we just open the door to everything. The church of the open door. Come in. Come as you are. Leave as you come. Nothing's changed. Just happy-go-lucky. That's not what God wants. We're in Matthew chapter 6. This will be the, I guess, part 2 of the same message. Open windows and closed doors. This is the closed door part. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6. And it starts out in verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Verse number 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We'll stop right there. Preston, she might ask God to bless us as we go into the second part of the same message this morning, I guess you would say. Amen. As you're being seated now, let me just say this and ask, I guess it's more of a rhetorical question, but I would ask you this. Do you have a prayer life? If you do, then bless God, strengthen that, embolden that, work on that prayer life. If you don't have one, you need one. You see, Daniel, when I've got to kind of bring these two back together, and I'll preach tonight on something different. I'm not going to preach this morning's message again tonight, but I'll say this. Daniel had a prayer life. He had an appointed time that he talked to God. And when he talked to God, God heard him. Why? Because God knew him and he knew God. Now, if you don't have a prayer life, you need one, because I'm telling you even now that even as Daniel ended up in captivity with the other Israelites, Brother Tam, that ended up in Babylonian captivity, he knew a God before he got to the captives. He knew a God before he got there. Just as I told you that Moses had an encounter with a God in a burning bush before he ever found himself hard pressed against a Red Sea. He had already met God. He knew God. And Daniel knew God. And the Bible said that Daniel, with the windows being open, prayed as he had aforetime. He had shut the door, but his windows were open as they always were. Maybe it was to get a draft. Maybe it was to have fresh air. But whatever the reason, Daniel did not hide behind a closed window to keep the executioners from coming to get him and taking him and putting him to death. As the windows had been opened, but God, he continued to do what he had always done. And God gave me that message this morning to just keep your windows open and let everybody know whose side you're on. Don't shrink back. Don't shirk away. And don't be ashamed or abashed about the fact that you are a child of God, because you are somebody going somewhere. Don't back up from that. Let the whole world know whose side that you're on. But when it comes down to your prayer life, don't wait until you are a captive to some sin. Don't wait until you've got a problem. Don't wait until you get a diagnosis of cancer before you start crying out unto God saying, God, here I am. No God going into it. Know God before you get there. That way, whenever you're facing something, you don't have to call up your pastor. You don't have to call up your family deacon, or squalling in a ball and saying, I need some prayer. But God, you can take it to God in prayer yourself and get a little help. Why? Because you knew him on the other side. You knew him before you ever got there. So now we're going full circle, and we come into this sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, and I told you to keep your windows open, but close the door. You said, yeah, what is that all about? Enter into thy closet. Look with me in verse number 6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. I want to preach about this just for a little while. That when you're behind the door, I want to preach about keep your door closed. I could preach a message, keep your windows open. I could go back and preach out of 1 Samuel chapter number 3 about how the Eli was to keep the temple lights on and he let the lights go out. I could preach on keep your lights on and make sure you're doing the deeds that God called you to do. Eli, the temple priest, Brother Chris, that's what he had to do. He was the keeper of that temple and he had to keep the lights on. But the Bible said that his eyes waxed dim and he grew old and he started shrinking back from his earthly duties as a priest and he let the lights go out in the temple. As Exodus chapter number 37 tells him, I believe it's verse number 20 or 21 down through there, that he was to keep the lights on, to keep the oil burning, and to keep the lights on. So I can preach, not keep your lights on, keep your windows open, but keep your door shut. And nothing stands you up quicker than a 4-year-old at the middle of the night, about 2 in the morning, tickling your feet, saying, I need a drink of water. Better shut your door. Am I right? That'll stand you up in the middle of the night and you wake up and somebody's standing over your bed. You say, well, what's going on? What are you preaching about? Close your door. He said, you can bring all this in right here. I'm getting ready to. Just listen. When you enter into your prayer closet, if my wife and I are in our prayer closet, if my wife and I are in our house and we have closed the world to the outside, we close the door. Is that not some of the most intimate time between David and Vicky? Is that not the intimate time between my wife and myself? Conversations, we talk about you. We talk about you. We talk about everybody. You said, y'all talk about everybody? Yeah, we do. We talk to the Lord. We talk about y'all. Y'all talk about me. We talk about each other. But you know what, Brother Paul? We can do that because we are intimate with one another. She and I are one. And we can do that because of that closeness and that intimacy. She would never tell me nothing that I think would violate my being a pastor, being a Christian, nor would I share anything with her. But what I'm saying is, it's so much more intimate with God when you go into thy closet and you shut the door. Intimacy with God can only then happen. You think I'm going to stand here before this congregation or come up here with this microphone slid up close and get up right before God? It's me and God in this altar. You said you don't talk to God in the altar? Sure I do. But Tim, ain't nothing like crawling up under that communion table and having a good cry and talking to a thrice holy God. But I'm not intimate with God in this pulpit like I am in my private place. I promise you that. Because when I'm in my private place, Brother Tim, well, God, it's just me and God. And the same as my wife and I can share those innermost thoughts and moments, and we can talk about what touches your heart and what moves you and what your needs are and my needs are. That's what I do to God. When I'm in that closet and I have shut the door, I can go back to my past, Brother Tim, and I can tell him every sinful deed I did. I don't have to go in there with a bunch of ifs and buts. I don't have to say if I sinned or if I'm... I can go right there and say, God, you know what I am. You know who I am. You know what I've done. And Brother Chris, I can tell him everything. Why? Because the door's shut. And it's just me and God. Amen. It's very, very, very intimate. When you shut that door, it's as close to the very cause of Christ dying on the cross. Why? Because when he died, what did he say? He tore down the inner partition. He tore the veil to give you access within the veil, which is to say his flesh. That give us access to him, Brother Chris, that we can now come boldly before the throne of grace. It doesn't get any more intimate than that. Hallelujah. I can tell him my deepest, darkest, nastiest, perverted thoughts and everything about my sinful past. And I can say, God, I just want to say I'm sorry. Thank you for forgiving me. And Brother Tim, I could tell him that. Why? Because the door shut. You said, do you audibly call him out like that? Probably not like I should. But with a prayerful heart, I'm talking to God. And he being the discerner of the thoughts and the very intents of my heart, he knows my cry. And he said, you've shut the door. Brother Gary, it's just you and God. Now you can tell him anything. Why? Because Regina's not hearing it. Your other kids are not hearing it. Your wife's not hearing it. I'm not hearing what you're telling God. Why? Because that's just between me and God. You said you've got stuff that you would tell God that you would not tell your wife. Sure I do. And she's got stuff that she would tell God that I should never hear. Why? Because that's between her and God. Amen. We don't just talk about our past. You can go in there, Miss Cindy, you can tell. I called you Miss Cindy. She told me to quit calling her sister Cindy. She said, please don't do that. She said, I don't like that. You're not married to your sister. That's perverted. We are in Wilkes County. Right? But Miss Cindy, there's things that you can crawl into that closet and you can tell God that you would never tell me. You wouldn't. You wouldn't utter that to me. And nor would I utter things to her. It's just between me and God. And man, I'm telling you what, he knows the very intricacies of me. He knows my thoughts, my heart, my makeup, what drives me, what motivates me, where my obstacles are, what my sticking points are. He knows what floats my boat. He knows what drains my... He just knows me, Brother Tim. He knows me. He knows me, and he knows you. And when you shut the door, when you close out everything but God, it's just you and God. The psalmist David put it this way, search me, O Lord, and try me. Know my thoughts and know my reins. He said, inside of me is a secret place. That's what he said. The psalmist said, I've got a secret place in my heart, and that's a place that nobody goes. But you know what? He knows it. He knows what's in your secret place. And when you shut the door, what you're saying is this, God, is just me and you. Amen. It's just me and you. Now, there's multiple things you could do while you're behind the door. You could try to cherry do it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or an hour, whatever. Just try to thank him for a little while. Brother Tim, you'll start thanking. Next thing you know, you're asking again. I do that. I'll start out just say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for 2 fine daughters. I want to thank you for a great marriage. I want to thank you for a great church. I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation. Brother Greg, you start out thanking him for everything, but just a few minutes later, you're saying, but Lord, I've got some people that need you. I've got people that's got cancer, Lord. I've got people that's lost loved ones, Lord. The next thing you know, with just the door shut and you and him, you're that way. You'll start, next thing you know, you're just saying, Lord, It's just me and you right now. Can I get real with you? And a lot of times, Brother Greg, it's not me talking to God all the time. A lot of times God's talking to me. But we don't just go in there and talk about our past. The writer here in Matthew said, and he pinned it down, it's in words of red, it's in that sixth verse, it said, when you go in there, just shut the door. When you enter into that closet, shut thy door. Those words being in red, this is what the Lord said, shut thy door. So you're not just talking about your past. I walk in there now and I shut the door and I tell him about my present. I can walk in there right now and say, this one's got this need, Lord. And that one's got that need, Lord. We've got this diagnosis and that diagnosis. We got a family back here. And that family that sat right in front of where Brother Chris is at tonight, that young man, if you don't know, the church helped him. You've given the deacons the authority to give money to a certain extent and a certain point. The deacons used that because that man and that girl back there, you said, yeah, they had tattoos from head to toe and she looked this way and he looked that way. What are they? Who were they? Come from. Bless God, they lost an infant child just a few weeks ago in this church. Bless God, it was approached by one of our deacons that knows the situation at hand. And this church blessed them with a little gift of money. And Brother Tim, because we gifted them a little bit of money, bless God, here they are on a Sunday morning. And that man's broken hearted stands up and just says, I want to thank you, church, for what y'all did. And when I come out, I got one of the biggest hugs I've ever gotten in my life. And he said, thank y'all for what you did. He said, please continue to pray for my family. He said, well, it's almost unbearable losing our baby. He said, we'll be back. And then he said, I don't think we've ever felt such love. Thank you, Calvary. And you see, that's in the present. That happened today. And since it's in, I'm not talking about my sinful past. I'm not now, my door's shut. It's me and God. I'm not talking. I can go back into, it's not all sinful, believe me. Oh, there's enough in there for me to talk to God about for the rest of my life, and he calls me home. There's some good things in my past. I can go back and say, thank you, God, for bringing me that little woman. Thank you, God, for my children. Thank you, God, for sending Jake into my life. Thank you, God, for sending us Preston, two men that would be upright and honorable before God to go to church with their wives and love our daughters. I can thank God for a lot, but damn, when I shut that door, I can talk about the present. I can walk right in right now and say, God, I don't know that boy. But they lost a daughter. They lost a son. They lost a baby. Lord, help them. I can walk. Gary, I can tell them about the present. Like you said a year ago, we could go in there on your behalf. I can go in there, shut the door and say, God, Gary needs you. Gary's off the road. Gary's out of work. I can go in there on your behalf, Miss Sterling, and say, Lord bless Miss Sterling. This is a very present help in a time of trouble. I can go in there right now and talk to God. I shut the closet door and say, Sterling's lost yet another sister. She's lost three sons. She lost a husband. She's acquainted with grief. And she needs you, Lord. And I can tell that in my closet. I'm talking about in the closet. I'm not talking about with a set of headphones on, with the earbuds beating out some country music song or some other song. I'm not talking about sitting here playing Candy Crush or sitting here watching a video game or trying to tune in Criminal Minds and also praying to God. I'm talking about nothing there but me and God. Amen. You say, well, I can do both. You shouldn't try to do both. When you're in that closet, and you're talking, it's just you and him. That's when I talked about the intimacy. You need to close the door. I mean, turn off your TV. Unplug your phone. I'm talking about if Miss Mary calls you, Miss Cindy, don't answer it. If Chris calls me, I should say delete or I'll answer later. You've done me that way and I've done you that way. Now's not a good time. I'll get back to you. We've all had to do that. Can't talk right now. Brother Tim, when you're in your closet, it ought to just be you and God. Shut the door. Keep your windows open, but shut the door. Going back in here again, look with me again. He said that the hypocrites, or who did he call? Did he call them the hypocrites or the, I can't remember. He calls people names all the time. Yeah, the hypocrites in verse number 5, he calls them hypocrites. Don't do like they do, standing out there that they may be seen. We've been in places where people, I don't know why they did it other than they did it. I say it's to say, hey, look at me. I'm a uber spiritual. I'm a super Christian. I got a merit badge in Christianity. I'm going to wear that thing like a badge of honor. So when I got down, they're in a Burger King, Brother Tam. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Burger King burger. And thank you, God, for... God's not impressed with that. Bow your head quietly. Lord, thank you for this food and whatever you got to do. But don't draw attention to yourself. The Bible said the hypocrites did that. That they may be seen of men. And the Bible said they have the reward. Corporate praying, public praying, public praying in here. When I say Brother Paul, open, or Brother Gary, close. That's different. And if that's the only prayer life Gary Badgett's got, I feel sorry for you. Christ died for you. That middle veil, the inner veil, the veil which is his flesh was torn from heavenward to earthward to give you access. And you're not going to use it?
Amen.
Why did he die? Amen. To keep your sorry butt out of hell? To keep you? No, he died that you might be redeemed or reconciled back to himself, that you might have fellowship with him. That, and a lot of times we want fellowship with his glory. We want fellowship with his love. We want fellowship with his tender mercy. But the Bible says, Brother Jody, that we must also be fellowship with his sufferings. And we don't like to go down that route, but we have to be partakers of that as well. When you shut your door, there's something about it. If I could just, I can't even bring it in. I cannot paint you a picture like I'm trying to right now. I can't show you other than a relationship between you two, because that's as close as I can get. And I think it's because he is the groom and we're part of the bride. And bless God, the intimacy that is attached to that, that's what we're trying. I'm trying to parlay that to you tonight to help you understand that you can have that if you want that. Just go in and shut the door. Not only can you talk about your past and talk about your present, but what else? It's a future without mom. It's a future with our kids in Rhode Island and us down here. Gonna miss our first Thanksgiving without them. It's the future of a doctor's appointment that's just on the horizon, of an upcoming and impending surgery that's just around the bend. It's the thought of a family about ready to separate. They're right there, Brother Greg. They're getting ready to part ways. Now you got biweekly visitations or bimonthly visitations. There's all these things. And you can have prayer about the past. You can have prayer about right now, such as we talked about, a very present help. Sterling needs help right now. But you can pray about the things that might be coming up. You said the Bible says to take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow, he's going to take care of it. Then why are you even here? Why are you praying if you're not going to try to alter the course of the future? I want to go to heaven. Where is that? It's in my future. I'm not there yet. That means it's somewhere out there for me to attain. Running and fighting, not as one that beateth the air, but I run to win the prize. Not as one that, like I said, beat. I'm trying to get to heaven, and I'm getting there upon his glory, upon his grace, my faith, and a finished work at Calvary. But when I shut the door, I can pray about those things that might be on the horizon for this church, for your lives. For those things that really impact you and make a difference in your life, I can take that to God in prayer. And I do that in my closet, Brother Tam. I get right in there with God, and I can be, when you pray in here, and I know there's public prayer. The Bible said, let all things be done decently in order. We have a certain way that we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And you know, you pray in a certain manner in your public prayer. But Brother Tam, when you pray, is it anything like that? It's not for me. I'm not putting you on the spot. Is it that way for you? When you're praying, Heavenly Father, I want to come before you. No, my prayer life in my closet when the door shuts a whole lot different than standing in a corporate place or a public place. It's different. It might be something like this. It's me again, Lord. Just want to talk to you. Thank you for the service Sunday, Lord. Thank you for hearing and answering prayers. Thank you for forgiving me of my past sins. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today. And Lord, I know there's some things coming up down the line that people are going to need some help with. Brother Greg, it's all right there. How are you going to do that if you don't shut the door? How are you going to do that if that thing looks like a swinging door coming both ways and you're coming in and sin's coming in behind you and going in and out? He ain't going to hear you if that's the case. Because the Bible says he's not going to hear. Man, I had notes, but we blew those a long time ago. Behind the door is very private. No outside influences behind that door. It's very personal. It's just you and God. Behind that door, humility exudes. Humility, humbleness, Brother Chris. I'm talking about you get so low before God that you feel like a rattlesnake in a wagon wheel rut. That's how low you feel. Tam, you ever feel that way? Lord, I'm so low. You have to get yourself there, because the Bible said to humble yourselves. And he will exalt you. He'll lift you up. But not only are you in that place of quiet humility and humbleness, but bless God, you get in there and you shut the door. I promise you, I come home from work sometime at lunch, and this little lady's been in her closet. And it's almost, and I don't mean this to build her up, but it's almost like she's glowing. I come home at lunch and you say, yeah, she got too close to the microwave. No, she's not glowing because of that. She just got a countenance about her. It's not always. Sometimes I come home and I thought she's had something on her mind all day today. And I found a penny on heads. And I said, honey, I found a penny on heads. And I said, I'll give it to you. A penny for your thoughts. I was wanting to know what she's thinking because she just seemed a little quiet today. A little distant to me. If Jan's got something on her mind, you know that. She's just different. But as we look at this thing, she shut the door. She's been along with God, Brother Tam. That's the difference. She got with God. And then when I come in, I'm messing everything up. Why? Because I come in within the door. I breached her quiet time or whatever. Somebody will breach yours. But in quiet humility, what I started to say there and just totally lost it was this. It's holiness. When it's just you and God in that place, there's holiness. You're in the presence of the throne room of God. There's nowhere you're going to get closer. You say, well, the day I got saved, I was as close to God as I'm ever going to get. Not so. He gave you the ability to approach Him, to come before Him. And that's what I'm hoping tonight, this morning's message and tonight's message will do. In total humility and honesty and holiness, Brother Chris, you go in there and just shut the door. Now, I used something this morning. I'm going back to that. I used the kids this morning, and I said, was it hard for them to pray at the lunchroom table? And that was a big collective, yes, it is hard to pray around the lunchroom table. It's hard for me to pray in the workplace. There was a period of time, and they said they didn't want any more praying going on. But after I had a carrier killed last year, my employees come to me and said, we need to start praying again. And now every time we have a little meal or breakfast or somebody will come in, they always come get me. I'll be in my office back there trying to get some work done. And they'll say, we're getting ready to eat. Will you come out? And when you come out, bless our food. That's different than getting in my closet. I'm glad that they let me do that. I'm glad that I could go out there and do that. But that's not like being in my closet. Now, tonight, I'm done. Tonight, I want to challenge you. Keep your windows open. You said, refresh us. I don't know what keeping your windows open means. Let the world know whose side you're on. Keep your windows open. I didn't say throw them open in defiance. I didn't say rebel against authority and throw your windows wide open. I said keep them open. Let everybody know whose side you're on. But shut your door. Chris, get along with God sometime. Do you have anything to pray for, son? I think you do. A list. Would you put me on it? I ask you to do that. Margaret, if you have a list, if maybe not written, Cindy's got prayer journals and they're all over the house. She writes stuff down. Put my name in it. Put this church in it. Put Brother Chris's ministry in it. Put our marriage in it. You say, why would you put your marriage in somebody's prayer list? Brother Tam Slayton would love to kill us. He'd love to tear our marriage apart. What kind of a cause would that be to the cause of Christ? What kind of a blemish would that leave? We prayed earnestly for Mara and Macy. We did. We prayed earnestly that God would keep them and protect them, keep them chaste and pure till the day that they said, I do. And that was a prayer. There's not frivolous prayers. Those are prayers that go on in the prayer closet. God honored our prayers. God, He's blessed in so many ways. But if you don't have a closet, you don't have a war room, you don't have a place to go, get one. Keep your windows open. But close your door. Brother Scott, Miss Macy, Casey, whoever was playing tonight. As we stand all over the house tonight, let me just simply ask you, don't raise your hand. Don't publicly acknowledge it. But do you have a prayer closet? Y'all remember the movie War Room? What did the elderly black lady pray? What did she do? She went into her war room. And do you remember the young couple that bought her house? What did they do, Brother Tim? They walked by that room and said, there's some power in that place. Somebody's been praying in there. Something's going on in there. I would to God, Brother Tim, that when people drive up and down Calvary's, by Calvary on Pads Road, they say, something going on in there. There's something going on in that place. I want you to have a place that nobody needs to know about it. It can be in your bedroom. It can be in a bathroom. It can be in your vehicle. It can be on a deer stand, in a field. There's an old deacon down at our old church that had calluses on his knees, Brother Tim, because he had a place in the woods. That's where he went, morning, noon, or night, rain, sleet, or shine. It didn't matter. He went down there to his place, and he prayed. I'm asking you, get yourself a prayer room. Get yourself a prayer closet. And when you get in there, Brother Scott, just shut the door. Karen will honor that. Hope and Noah, I promise you, will honor that if Daddy's just in his prayer room. You'll block everything out. And I guarantee you, Brother Chris, things will start to happen for you. God will start to answer you. Because, read our verse again, that God, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, if he's not going to do that, then he's a liar. And he's no liar. He said he would do that. If you would do your part, he would do his part. Tonight, as we close out this service, thank you for being here. And as we sing, what have you got? Number 165, Kneel at the Cross. I told you this would be a short little radio message. I've kept my word. Let God do something for you. Just let him help.